Okay, so Razorman asked me to speak about a set of related issues of playing ball on Shabbat, exercise on Shabbat, both from the halachic perspective and the public policy perspective. So we'll get through as much of it as we can. You sent everything I sent out there? Okay, so of what I sent out, one is a Makarot sheet, one is an article that was recently published by Rabbis Stav, father and son, on why they think we should be more lenient on exercise, which is important not just because the Makarot are good, but because if you want to understand sort of the dialogue that's going on and why people are asking this question more between health consciousness and the like, that's it's a helpful article to have. What else did I send out? I sent out four things, right? I sent out an article by Rabbi Saul Berman from many years ago on playing ball on Shabbat for your reading, where he deals with the halachic issues, but also, as we'll see, he deals with the public policy issues. And for those who are interested, afterwards I sent to Rabbi Zimmerman a 300-plus page Hebrew dissertation on the history of Uvdin Dechol, if you want to understand how hard some of these concepts are to define. It is good. I have read the whole thing at some point. I have notes on it somewhere that I can send you if I find them. And I sent you sources on swimming on Shabbat, which again, I would run through, but mostly those sources are from Rabbi Arye Leibowitz. But at the end, I included representative pieces from across the spectrum, from a piece that was published at YCT to things more on the right. So you can see how this dialogue is in different parts of the community, because these things really do come up. And I'm sure that you've seen it, right? Fights in different communities. Should we allow people playing ball on Shabbat? Should we not? Should we encourage kids but not adults? And the like. So what I want to do is try to at least ground the discussion and talk about the policy issues as well. So let's start with playing ball on Shabbat. Usually the first rhetorical point, if you find someone who is very opposed to people playing ball on Shabbat, they often will start with this line in the Yerushalmi and the Echarabah, because, well, it's a good rhetorical place to start the discussion, even if it, as we'll see, not necessarily the best halachic place to start the discussion. But in the list of things for which Yerushalayim or other cities were destroyed, right, we have all types of obviously chamur sins, whether it be murder and Avodah Zarah and the like, or Sinat Chinam in the case of Yerushalayim. When it comes to a city of Tur Shimon, which was, as we'll see, a very righteous city, the Yerushalmi and the Midrash ask why they were destroyed, because Tur Shimon have a mafik tlat mavan de garvin de merikil lekaita kol aravot shuvah. Every Erev Shabbat, they would distribute 300 units, baskets, whatever, of food. I mean, this was a very generous community, a place that it doesn't make sense that it was destroyed, and yet it was destroyed. So the Gemara says, V'lama charev, so why was it destroyed? And then you get two very shocking answers. The first one is not so shocking. It's the equivalence between the first and the second, which is shocking. The first answer is, Yesh Omer B'nei Haznut. First answer is because there was apparently promiscuity. There were people who were sleeping around, whatever exactly we're talking about, whether it's prostitution or araya. That makes sense. It's either one of the big three related to the big three. I understand. Second position in the Yerushalmi is, V'yesh Omer B'nei Haznut. The second possibility is they used to play ball. Now, this is a little problematic. First of all, why would that make a city deserving of destruction? And second of all, even if that's the case, to what extent is that equivalent to the first half of the statement, which is znut, right? So this creates the problem. Now, just with the Yerushalmi, we have no idea when they were playing ball. We just know they were playing ball. When are they playing ball? Why is that problematic? We have no idea. You could speculate, based on the equivalence between the first and second half of the sentence, that the issue was that they were involved in sports in the way that they were played in the ancient world, where there was at least an overtone of erva, because as we know from the Olympics, they were played in the nude. There was a celebration of the human body. There was therefore some sort of sexual overtone in sports playing. So it's possible, just from reading the Yerushalmi, that that's what we're talking about. However, many of the Mefarshim are, either they have this Girsa in the Yerushalmi, or they rely on the Girsa as it's found in Echarabah number two, which is specifically, Shayim Misachkin B'Kadur B'Shabbat. The problem was they were playing ball on Shabbat. So in the Midrash in Echarabah, which, as things go, is a very early Midrash, right? If you've ever studied the history of Midrash, you will discover that Midrash was written over the course of many hundreds of years, but amongst the earliest Midrashim we have is Eicha Rabbah. Okay? Some of the Midrashim that you know as classic Midrashim are really medieval. They're only written in the time of the Rishonim, Midrash Seichel Tov, and things like that. Some of them are written in the time of the Gaonim, but Eicha Rabbah is very, very early. Contemporaneous or so with the Yerushalmi. It's a very early Midrash. So this is a pretty good source. Again, what the original Girsa was, who knows? But this is what influences many people. Now, as you'll see, the Karban Ha'edah, in number 3, notes that in the Yerushalmi itself, as I said, it's not clear whether the issue is Shabbat. He does, in his first position, say, Shayu Misachkin Bekadur B'Shabbat, basing himself on Eicha Rabbah. However, in the second one, he says, Inami Shayu Mevalin Yimehem Bahem Belosku B'Torah. Perhaps this is not true. It doesn't mean they played ball once in a while. It means they always played ball, and therefore they didn't do anything else. They didn't learn Torah. They just played sports all day, and that's really the problem. This is a Bittul Torah Gemara, and that's really what's going on. This has nothing to do with Shabbat. However, as you'll see, as you've seen the Pnei Moshe insists the issue here is Shabbat, and what's implicit in the reading of the Gemara in this way is that what the Yerushalmi is saying is not just that playing ball in Shabbat is why Tur Shimon was destroyed, but it's more than that. Despite the fact that we just established that Lechvod Shabbat, they used to, A, they were generous and gave a lot of stock, and they did it specifically Lechvod Shabbat. This was like a major Tomchei Shabbos initiative. Despite the fact that these were known as generous people, specifically in the context of Kavod Shabbat, nevertheless, the fact that they were playing ball on Shabbat was enough for the city to be destroyed. Okay? So therefore, the rhetorical discussion, at least, often starts here in this this Yerushalmi slash Midrash. However, it's not clear what the issue is. Right? You look at the Yerushalmi, okay, fine. So playing ball on Shabbat, maybe if it's Shabbat, but let's assume Shabbat, let's go with that perish. That's why Tur Shimon was destroyed. Okay, great. And therefore what? Right? Well, why is it problematic? What does that tell us? Maybe we'll get back to the L.A. Tamar. The L.A. Tamar runs through a summary, but so that here I specifically looked around and tried to get you a few sort of modern English articles so that you would understand not just the halacha, but sort of the discourse of what's going on, what people are reading the first time they Google, right, playing ball on Shabbat. So I included a few of those because that is an important thing. And towards the end, we'll talk about some of the more recent issues. I know there was sort of a, at least in America, I saw that there was a bit of a, quite a public debate over whether we should celebrate or not the two Orthodox players who were drafted into Major League Baseball, right? So these are in people's minds, both in terms of what they do privately and in terms of how the community represents itself. So it's important to not just understand the Makara, but to realize, right, the popularized sources that when you Google it, they're going to come across. So let's assume the issue is Shabbat. What is the issue on Shabbat? So there are basically, and this is from right, Daniel Newstead's summary, and I put in Makarot throughout, not necessarily his, but I sort of put the Makarot in, but there are basically 6 possible problems that were raised in the Mefarshim to explain that if the issue was playing ball on Shabbat, why is that so bad? So, possibility 1 is carrying, right? The issue wasn't playing ball per se, it was they were going out in the street. To leave it as not a machloket, okay, they were going out in Times Square without an Erev, okay, fine. And they were playing ball and therefore carrying on Shabbat. For those of you who learned Erevin with us, you know that this is much more complicated, but fine. They were carrying where they should not, either in Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita or possibly in a place where it's Asur Midirabanan or Rishut HaYachid, that didn't have an Eruv, right, or Chatzero, whatever the case may be, it's a place where they could not carry. Now, on Yom Tov, and I won't read through the Makarot with you, but on Yom Tov, this gets a little bit problematic, right, because on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry, and then it's a Machloket Rashi Tosfot, whether you are allowed to, you're allowed to carry for any reason at all, or you need some sort of justification, it's a Ktsat, right? I don't want to get too much into it, but the reason that becomes relevant is because in number 8, in Hilchot Yom Tov, when Shulchan Aruch introduces the notion of Hutra, namely, right, Mitoch Shehutra L'Torah Hutra Shalol L'Tzorech, the fact that the parameters of Ochel Nefesh are expanded beyond the very limited understanding of providing food. How broadly, again, is the Machloket Rashi Tosfot and other Rishonim as well? The Ramah, they're right, Umutar L'Shok B'Kadur Afil B'Shur Rabim Afal Gav She'eno Elatiul. The Ramah there writes that it is permitted to play ball even in Rishud HaRabim. Now, what does that Ramah tell us? So it seems like that the Ramah is now telling you, right, if the Ramah says it's mutar to play ball on Yom Tov, right, even in Rishud HaRabim, so that tells us a few things. That tells us that if, to the extent to which he accepted the Yerushalmi, he likely thought that it was an issue of carrying, and therefore it's going to apply on Shabbat and not in Yom Tov. And second of all, as the Mishnah Berurah here notes, this assumes the more expansive position of what can be considered Sorech on Yom Tov. But if you reject that, as the Mishnah Berurah himself says, Ein Zeh Din Muskam L'Kulei Alma, not everyone agrees, then it would be prohibited. Okay? But again, if that's the case, if the issue at hand was carrying, so then, assuming you're in a place where you can carry, in a place where whatever, and let's make it easy, an indoor gym, right, in your house, right, you'll be zochad, have a nice mansion in Israel, fit a gym in it, fine, or whatever, you live in a yeshuv and there's a wall around it, whatever, come up with a case where it's muskam alakol, right, so then you would be allowed to play ball, because the only problem was carrying, and therefore, if you can solve the carrying problem, then this is not an issue. Okay, that's problem one. Problem, the second potential problem is Mukta, is that the ball does not have a purpose. Now, this is a machloket. I gave you the Shibbol HaElekid, who brings it at length, but fundamentally, this is a machloket, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah. Shulchan Aruch paskins this way in 11, as you can see. Asur l'shchok b'Shabbat v'yom tov v'kadur. The Shulchan Aruch, to the extent that he thinks the problem of Mukta. And the Ramah says, V'yesh matirim no gula hakel. The Ramah rejects the notion that it is mukta, right? So the second potential problem on this level, Shulchan Aruch assumes, and again, you can read Shibbol HaElekid in your own time, that it is mukta, and the Ramah does not. Now, why does the Shulchan Aruch think it is mukta? So there's a few possibilities. If you look at the Shibbol HaElekid, he raises the possibility that they are dirty and disgusting, and therefore it's mukta machmas mius. Another possibility is that it is mukhma, right, that it is objectively considered to have no purpose. Now, this is a little bit of a problematic svara, because if you produce a ball for the express purpose of using it in sport, presumably that would override the mukta concerns, even according to Shulchan Aruch. Unless you think that there's some, like, magic objective svara, which might be based on the things we'll see later, that playing ball on Shabbat is just, like, not recognized as legitimate halachically, and therefore it objectively makes the ball into an object of mukta. And even among Svardi poskim, as we'll see, that is a machlokes, which one the Shulchan Aruch meant. Okay, so the second issue here potentially is mukta, which the Mechaber does accept. The Ramah rejects. The Mogen Avraham seems to take the more objective approach within the Shulchan Aruch, because if you see in number 12, he says, Vasur l'teltel hakadur d'machshavto lo mishave likli. Right, he's usher to carry, because even if you intend it as a toy, and therefore you think it's mutter, that is not enough to make it into a kli. So that does seem to support this notion that whether it's because of mius or machmat gufo, machmat atma, like etim v'avanim, whatever it is, it sounds like Mogen Avraham understands Shulchan Aruch is saying that a ball is objectively, which is very problematic, but as we'll see, there are major poskim like Rav Ovadia Yosef who understand the Shulchan Aruch this way and poskim that way la halacha. Yeah. What?
How did they understand it before the
halacha? This is the problem. Yeah. What? Correct, he does. He says it's Asran, right? Asur l'shchok b'Shabbat v'yom tov v'kadur. Shulchan Aruch himself thinks it's Asran Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Ramah, right, does not. Right, the Shulchan Aruch 11, right? The Shulchan Aruch himself says it's Asur and Shabbat and Yom Tov, because he thinks it's Mukta. The Ramah thinks it's carrying, right? And he also doesn't think it's Mukta, right? He rejects both. Um, Now, the Prima Gadim takes it more practically, right? He doesn't seem to think it's objective. He just thinks it was the reality of balls that people played with. That, because if you look at the Prima Gadim, he says, well, Vim Katan Vade in Machshav Tavklum. If it was a kid, so obviously he can't make the ball, which was before useless, into something useful. Because his Machshava can't transform it. Va'af Gadol, the Mahani Machshava, Yesh Omrin Deboy Ma'isa. And even if it's an adult, so you need an action. But that implies that he doesn't think it's a fundamental problem. He just thinks that in his day, most balls were not used. I don't know what they were used for, but they were not used for playing. Right? And therefore it's booked up. Which implies, right? And then he says, yes, but then if it's only practical, so then if you would create a ball and actually make it for the purpose, right, or even designate it before Shabbat, so then everyone should agree it would be fine. So the Prima Gadim, even within Shulchan Aruch, is not so convinced that this is objectively the case. And if you look at the Mishnah Berura, right, he says the reason we mutter is because Shkeven Shasui Lekachum Yuchad La Bitmidut Lo Shayach Bo Shem Mukta. The logic to say it's not Mukta is that's what it's made for. It's a toy. Of course, you can't do it Bershut Harabim, etc. Fine. And then I gave you, if you look at 15 in the Yalkut Yosef, I didn't give you the full Tshuva and Bavadia, but it's the same thing, right? It's he writes, "Lesfaradim olchem gedat maran shulchan aruch asur legdolim l'sachek bekadur b'shabbat of yom tov asur letalflo afilu tzarach gufo umikomo." Right? It's muhmat. It's muksa like eitzim b'avanim. Nothing's going to change it. V'adin kein af bekadur sh'asu mitchila l'shem mischat. And this is true even if it was made for a toy. Right? This is how shulchan aruch. This is how shulchan aruch is understood by Rabbi Avadia, by Yitzchak Yosef. Nevertheless, he does allow a child to do it on the suffolk. This is very fun, right? On the suffolk that's not what Shulchan Aruch meant, right? He's willing to allow kids to play with it. That's what he writes, right? Mikol makom mutar l'arshot l'katan, fil shegiel l'chinuch l'sachek mischakim v'kadur b'shabbat, ki shema maran lo diber al kadur b'zman hazeh, sheyesh lanu batei charoshot l'mischakim. Right? Maybe I'm wrong, and therefore, since it's a suffolk mukta, that's okay for kids, but not for adults. Okay? I don't know exactly why. Fine. But then he says, and besides, you can then be mitzare, if you look at the second half, he says you can mitzare for the Rama, who doesn't think it's mukta, so it's the Rama, and a suffix in Shulchan Aruch is enough for kids. Okay, some sort of calculus like that, but that's what he writes. However, if you look, not all Sephardi Poskim agree with him. For example, in the Shvut Yitzchak, and the Yitzchak Giranein, both do, right, they do not take this position, even within Shulchan Aruch. Right, they don't think, as you can see, Yitzchak Aronin is not thrilled with adults playing ball, but he does not think it's the muksa problem because it was prepared for this purpose. Okay, possibility three, and we'll come back to this as exercise, which is what I want to do by itself, so hold the exercise issue on the side. The fourth possible issue is that it levels the ground. This is not true of all sports. This is true of soccer, and most folks at the end of the day do assume that soccer on green grass is also according to everybody. Right? But this is obviously not a problem of volleyball on a court or basketball on a court or whatever the case may be. Right? If the issue is leveling of the ground, so just look at the Mitzvah to figure out what you're talking about. Similar with the next one, moving trees and bushes. Again, figure out. Okay. So don't do that. Right? But if you're on whatever, right? You're on a court where it's clear, none of those issues are going to apply. And then some people are worried about the inflating of the ball. Fine. So make sure it's prepared before Shabbos. Okay. So those are the potential issues. Now, those are the potential issues with one exception. And again, we'll double on this issue because we're going to come back with exercise. But many of the people who oppose it don't oppose it on Isser grounds, whether Daraisa carrying or Darabana and Muksa. They prohibit it on the amorphous category, which you began discussing, which is, well, Uptin Dachal, Shabbaton v'chule, right? And like I said, that is a very hard concept to put your finger on, hence the dissertation that I sent to Rai Zimmerman that you're free to read, where his conclusion is, this is basically impenetrable, right? No one has any idea how to define it. He does his best and is very good. He has finds a tremendous, tremendous number of sources, analyzing how it's been developed through the years, right? But it's very hard to pin down. But what might it mean? So, when people speak of Uvdin Dechol and Spirit of Shabbat and Shabbaton, so there are different sources that they throw out, right? Either they'll throw out the whole discussion Yishayahu Nun Ched, the fact, as the Gemara in Shabbat Kuf Yud Gimel tells you that on Shabbat, the way you walk has to be different, the way you talk has to be different, etc. And therefore, right, you shouldn't run, right? Which again, we'll come back to, because it's not clear that that's true, right? That may only be running not for enjoyment, and that's when we come back to exercise, we'll take that up in just a minute. So there is this idea of the spirit of Shabbat. Now, is that d'oraita? Is that the Rabbanan? It's not totally clear. The Ramban, in two places, I actually gave you the more expanded one, but in his Perish Vayikra, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, that you did, right? So I'm going to run through this. If you want the more expanded version, I gave it to you on the sheet, which is in his Drasha, the Rosh Hashanah, because that's what all shul rabbis speak about on Rosh Hashanah before the shofar, like a 20-page analysis of the nature of Shabbaton. And then at the end of it, by the way, people, I'm making Aliyah right after Yom Tov goodbye. It's a very interesting drasha, and give a lot of money to the shul. It's a very very interesting, halachically, sociologically, it's a fascinating drasha. But it's slightly clearer here. The Ramban writes that, no, that's sort of a misnomer. On a biblical level, there is an obligation to make Shabbat have a certain unique spirit that we call Shabbaton. Okay? The problem that has vexed many of the Mefarshim subsequent to the Ramban is, okay, but then why does it seem that all of these Isurim about spirit of Shabbat are quoting Yeshayahu, right, and are formulated Dirabanan with an Asmachta from Navi, which doesn't give it a biblical force if the Ramban says it's D'oraita. So, one of the main answers that's given is found first in the Ritva and Rosh Hashanah and Daf Lamed Bet. Again, I know, right, Zerim did this, so I'm going to run through it. If he didn't, stop me. Right, but the Ritva, and it's quoted by the Chatam Sofer Lahalacha and many of the other Achronim, says, well, it depends. Right? It depends on frequency. It depends on frequency. If you violate the spirit of Shabbat once, we call that Derabanan, we call that a Shvut. If you do it all the time, right, and therefore you destroy the spirit of Shabbat overall, right? Right? It's like the difference of if you have to, right, you're on vacation, you have to take one work call, it's annoying, but you're still on vacation, right? But if your boss says, listen, I really need you, and you have to take, you know, the whole morning, you're not on vacation anymore. Right? So, the Ritva says, if you do it once, it's Derabana. If you do it many times, it's D'oraita. And therefore, when Chazal said something does from Yishim Shvut, what they meant was that which the Torah prohibited, if done all the time, we are rabbinically going to prohibit, even if you do it one time. Okay? Right? That is the Ritva's take, the Chatam Sofer's take as well. Most people do assume that the Ritva is a fair interpretation of the Ramban. He's a student of the, or student of a student of the Ramban, twice over, right? Meaning he's, everyone thinks he's a student of the Raj, but it's only half true. He's mostly a student of the Ra, but they're both talmidim of the Ramban, right? This is something that's in the Beit Midrash of the Ramban. Most people assume, therefore, because he says this is what the Ramban means, that it's a fair understanding of the Ramban. For some reason, Rav Yitzchak Yosef does not think this is true. Thanks. Rav Yitzchak Yosef is convinced that despite the fact that the Ritva is a student of the Ramban and says what he's quoting the Ramban, he says it's not true. That's not what the Ramban meant. And if you look at 24, he says, Umashma Shirakim Shabbat Eslo Kechol Lechol Davar She'inu Nizhar Bishum Shvut Vazei Yesh Yisur Daraita Shal Shabbaton Avalim Over Bekama Pratim Vizayir Be'idach Shuv Lo Heve Shabbat Eslo Kechol Lechol Davar Uvazei Inach Hanami Yesur Himi Derabanan. Okay, he says it's not about whether you do something many times, but whether you violate different types of Yisurim, right? The Ritva thinks it's about frequency of a single Yisur, and he thinks the Ramban is about multiple different categories of Yisur rather than one. Okay, fine. Many people try to equate the Ramban with the Rambam, because the Rambam in two places does seem to have some sort of expansive notion of this spirit of Shabbat as well, both in the beginning of Perakof Aleph of Hilchot Shabbat and in Perakof Dalet of Hilchot Shabbat. So in 25, you have the Rambam says, Ne'emar b'Torah tishvot, afil midvarim she'ena melacha chayav lishvot b'hen. Even things that are not melacha, you have to rest. Udvarim harbei hein she'asur chachamim mishum shvut, mehen dvarim asurin, b'nei she'en domin l'melachot, mehen dvarim asurin gzeira shema yavo b'hen isur skila ve'iluhei. So here, he prohibits two types of things. A, things which are similar to melacha. B, things which will lead to a melacha. However, in Perek Chav Dalet, in number 26, he adds, yesh dvarim she'en asurin, b'shabat ava b'she'enon en domin l'malacha. There's a third rabbinic category, which is not melacha-like. Ubinei man ne'esra. So why are they prohibited? Mishum she'ne'emar im tashiv mishabat raglech atzot chavatzecha b'yom kachi v'ne'emar v'chibatom me'asot derachach amtso chavtzecha v'daber davar. L'fichach asur la'adam l'alech v'chavatzav v'shabat v'afil l'daber b'hen gigon she'idaber m'shutafo ma'imkor l'machar ma'ikneo heich yivneh b'yitzeh u'v'edes chora yilecha ma'komploni. And therefore it's prohibited to talk about your business, etc. Right? So the Rambam clearly also has this idea that you have to be shoveid, and he does seem to connect it to Shabbaton, right? Because he, in his yesh dvarim shein asurim b'shabbat, right? This is like the continuation of Perek Chav Aleph, long discussion. So many people equate the Rambam and the Ramban. They don't seem to be exactly the same, because, and this will be important in just a minute, the Ramban, if you remember, right, for him, what type of actions violated Shabbaton most intensely? What did he discuss? Do you remember from the Ramban? Did you read the Ramban with them, or you quoted outside? Okay, so what does he say? And this is something that most people don't notice, but I've seen several people point it out. Tircha, right? He talks about tircha, right? If you didn't have a Shabbaton, so then a person could schlep things up, down, up, down, up, down, right? Move his furniture around and things like that, as long as he's in Rashut Yachid. For the Ramban, the violation of Shabbaton seems to be about exertion, right? Rather than rest. While the Rambam has a category of Shabbaton-esque things, if you notice, the primary violation comes from being involved in your business. Right? Now, the Ramban also talks about this, except he talks about if you're working, right, you'll end up schlepping things and the like. Right? For him, it seems to be, even the business side is more about exertion. Right? For the Rambam, it's very much your profession. Happening on Shabbat is a bigger problem. Now, that nuance is important when we get not to the private pickup game, but to what we think of someone making their profession a baseball player, right? That nuance is going to be important because it's not quite the same between the Ramban and the Rambam. I gave you, if you're interested, in 27-28, Merkevet HaMishnah, Kilat Yaakov, not of the stipler, the one on Bar Ilan of the 300 people they have on the Rambam. It's also in the Shlal David, who I also have no idea who that is. But at some point, I went through the Zalachot and read every single one of those to see what they said. It was torture. But they don't think that the difference between Doraita and Darabanan is frequency. They think it's duration. Okay? It's about whether you do things for a minute or an hour. Okay? I mean, fine. I don't know how different these are. I don't know why they're... But fine, that's what they think. I gave it to you in case you are interested. Now, here's the question. Many people, when they're talking about playing ball on Shabbat and why they oppose it, will point to something along these lines, right? It's a violation of the spirit of Shabbat, Shabbaton, etc. Okay. However, what you'll find is there are two very different discourses that go from there, and it's very important which discourse you take, okay? One set of discussions argue that playing ball, playing sports, and the like is fundamentally against the spirit of Shabbat. That's one set of discussions. Many others say, no, 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 that's not what's going on. It's usher to play sports on Shabbat because you're being mevatel, the goal of Shabbat. You should be learning Torah. Right? Now that's different. Right? That's a very different discussion because if you think it's intrinsically problematic, so then you can just say, look, I'd rather, you know, do anything else, nap, right? You're not doing anything spiritual, but that's okay, right? But if you think the problem is that people aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, and you think you're now dealing on a policy level, then you've got to figure out, okay, but what's the alternative, right? Are they actually going to do what you think is better to be doing on Shabbat, okay? So if you look, now this goes back all the way to the Rishonim. So if you look at number 30, I'll come back to 29. But if you look at number 30 in the Rokeach, okay, The Rokeach quotes, he starts off by saying, listen, the minhag was that people would give a drasha and they would learn Torah and Shabbat. That was the minhag. And the second line at the end, he says, "Ein laniach drasha v'rasu dash lishi." Don't leave the drasha to go have shalosh shudas, right? Okay, you should be learning Torah, etc. And then in this context, he quotes in the last line, right? The Yerushalmi of Tur Shimon Lamacharev Mipnei Shem Misachkin BeKador UBetelin Minat Torah. So he had a girsa in the Gemara. This is either a girsa or a perush. But he thinks the problem is about the spirit of Shabbat, but not because playing ball was particularly problematic, but because they're playing ball to the exclusion of learning. Right? So that's sometimes when people say spirit of Shabbat, they mean uvdin dechol Shabbaton and all that. Sometimes they don't mean that. They mean it's the spirit of Shabbat because it's not the spirit of Shabbat because you should be doing something else. Right? That's what the Rokeach says. And you get it as well in the Batei Moshe. But therefore, if you look at the second to last line of the Matei Moshe in 31, he's a student of the Marashal. So you're talking 16th century, early 17th. He says, well, if it's about Bittul Torah, umashma dilitzchok bekador shalob izman beit midrash mutar. That, right, you can go farther and you can say, maybe it's only problematic to play ball at designated learning time. Right? So you shouldn't leave the shul during the drasha to play basketball. Right? You shouldn't skip your normal daf yomi shir to play baseball. Fine. Right? But if you think it's about not learning Torah, even within that, you have a subdivide. Is it you should be learning Torah the whole day, or when the minhag, when the custom, when the community learns Torah, right, when the culture learns Torah, you shouldn't opt out of it. And that's how the Matei Moshe takes it. Now, if you take that discussion, right, so then clearly, someone who says something like that doesn't really think it's a violation. It's an intrinsic violation of the spirit of Shabbat. And clearly, he isn't worried about all the other halachic issues we talked about. Right? Because by the end of it, he's only limiting you to not play ball during the shul drasha. Right? Or whatever. Yeah. He says learning. Right? No, well, Kiddush is fine. Kiddush. But the question of what else we include is not so clear. Right? Meaning, yes. I don't think he means just learning, right? Meaning, sure, you shouldn't skip chakras either. I assume he would say that. That's true in every day also. But, right, there are definitely people who would say, well, he should extend his meal and sing more Zmiro, because that's Shabbos dick, right? Certain people are going to say, why? Meaning, that's also Bittul Torah, right? You know, we don't like that either. They're, you know, why are you extending your meal and doing that? Why is the, I mean, look, no less of an authority than the Mishnah Berurah says we could yell at the Chazanim who extend davening too long because it's stopping people from eating and learning, right? Meaning, right, that is how the Mishnah Berurah basically opens him in Kuf Chav Tes in Aruch Chaim, right? Meaning, right, a lot of things we think of as Shabbos dick, major postgame did not, right? So if you're at a three-hour davening because they're schlepping out the singing, right, the Mishnah Berurah would tell you that's also Bittul Torah, right? And there's all the Bittul Simchas Yom Tov. So he doesn't only mean learning, but what he does mean, right, I don't know. And, you know, many of the things that we would take as a given in the spirit of Shabbat, I'm not sure would go into that. Now, the Yom Shoh Shlomo is often quoted, however, right, as being very angry about playing ball on Shabbat. He says, it's shocking. How do we let people play ball? The Ein Bo Tzara Chayom Klal. Totally unnecessary. It's what kids do. Hanach. So for them, let them do it. Right? Now, I don't really know what he means, right? He doesn't sound exactly like the Matei Moshe, who thinks it's only a problem because you're giving up learning. But it's also not clear the extent to which he's only worried about it on Shabbat, or he doesn't like sports ever, right? And kal vachomer on Shabbat, which is a trope in poskim, right? There is this fascinating trope. If you follow all the mefarshim that are either quoted in the Beit Yosef and Simon Shin Zion, and then all the achronim in Shin Zion, right, in reading material on Shabbat, right, there's this trope, it goes like this. This is Asr on Shabbat. Really, it's Asr B'chol, right? Afilo B'chol lo yade, yodea mihetiro. But in far people doing it on the week, they really couldn't do it on Shabbat either, right? And every posek basically plugs in the thing that they think is meaningless, right? Someone showed me this once, where you literally just line it up. They never quote a source. They just say, right? So for Shulchan Aruch itself, it's romantic literature, right? And history, right? Sifrei Melachim. But there are modern poskim who are like, what do you mean? You see, I think this is even the one of the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael was like, what do you mean? History shows the hand of Hashem in, right, Hashgacha Klalit throughout history. That is, right? I mean, right? And obviously if you were talking to Rabbi Lamb, right, I somehow doubt that Rabbi Lamb would say yes. Who allowed you to read science, right, even during the week? Who allowed you to read history even during the week? So it's not clear to me, right? The Yamsar Shlomo is saying it's terrible, Sichat Yeladim, but that's not only a problem with Shabbat, right? It sounds like he's not thrilled with it in general, and for sure on Shabbat. So how much is this in opposition to sports? How much is it in opposition to sport on Shabbat? How much is it some combination somewhere in the middle? I don't know. So where does that leave us? Yeah. You did running on Shabbos? Okay, right. So we're going to come back to it. I just wanted to include that. But yes. Right. Exactly. Right. So that's what I want to come back to. Right. Meaning I sort of pushed exercise to the end. But yeah, we have to come back to that. Right. That's why I said we'll bracket exercise for a minute and talk about sports per se rather than just exercise. But they will integrate by the end. Correct, but they might be different, right? They might be different. So what are we left with? Okay, so let's just quickly summarize it. Definitely in Echaraba, maybe in the Yerushalmi, playing ball, not just exercise, but playing ball singled out is terrible. For several of the reasons, it's because of localized Shabbat issues, carrying and muktzah and the like. If you paskin like the Ramah, right, so if you're standard Ashkenazi, the carrying issue, right, obviously in Rosh Hashanah is a problem, but on Yom Tov he's willing to be meikel lechatchila. He doesn't paskin of the mukta issue. If you follow Shulchan Aruch, so even there's this Svardi poskim divide. Rebavadya Udi'ime say it's objective. So adult Svardim cannot play because it's mukta. But several of the modern Svardi Achronim, right? Yitzchak Yaranein is Yitzchak Nisim, right? We're talking chief Svardi rabbis of Israel, right? We're talking modern, right? Divide, and they say no. Therefore, then what about spirit of Shabbat? So even there we saw a divide. Some people really think it's a problem with spirit of Shabbat, and some people think, no, you shouldn't be mevatel learning for it, right? Which either means if you were going to be learning, so then don't play ball, or in the time when everybody learns, you shouldn't be playing ball. So, where does that leave us? So, if you look at Rosh Hashanah Zalman, well, not Rosh Hashanah. If you look at Rav Neuwirth, right, in Shmir Shal Gelchaza, he has three versions of this, right? In each publication, he changed this sentence. In this version, he writes that kids can play ball, but if they're past bar mitzvah, vaday ratzui shimnu atzmam mimischak b'shabbat u'b'yom tov. It is definitely better that they should hold back from it. Why? Ki haShabbat chemdat ayamim lo neg nitnah neg ruchanim in olam haba b'chol machabim asot b'drachem notim lo nachalim mitzarim. Because that's not the spirit of Shabbat. You should be doing spiritual things. Which is like he doesn't like it, but it's about a right. That's a lot of this discussion goes. I will note that when I was growing up, let me see when this was, I'm pretty sure it was 10th grade, so 2003, 4, right? We had a Reuven Feinstein came to my shul for Shabbos, which he used to do once a year. I grew up in Staten Island, so he would come visit the Young Israel once a year, and he had a Friday night Oneg question and answer with the high schoolers. And someone asked him about it, and he said, listen, I know everybody's angry about playing ball on Shabbat, but I'll just tell you that my brother and I used to go to the MTJ gym and play basketball on Shabbat with our father's approval, even after Bar Mitzvah. Okay? Kacha, he said, I don't know what everyone's yelling, I'm just telling you what I did as a kid. Right? He just said, but my father didn't want us to change clothes. Right? We did it in our way, in our Shabbos clothes. Okay? Right? What force that has, I have no idea. Right? But this is, I remember him very distinctly. Okay. The Aruch HaShulchan in 35 says, V'yesh mitram imoze, right? The Ramah says it's okay, and some people are angry. She'en zeh simcha v'tiyol rak l'ptanim v'lo v'dolim. V'v'emet, she'en zeh taromet. He says, right, as you mentioned before, he says, listen, some people are really angry. I don't know why they're so angry, right? V'chev d'chaviv alav l'fi da'ato ha'shvei la'ich nimnam imenu. Right? If Oneg Shabbat is subjective and someone enjoys playing sports, so fine, right? The Aruch HaShulchan didn't think it was a problem. So what we're left with is the standard Ashkenazi posek. The issue in play is the spirit of Shabbat. And even within the spirit of Shabbat, it's not clear what the spirit of Shabbat is, right? Are we talking about it's objectively against the spirit of Shabbat, or it's a problem because you're not doing something else, right? What that leads to is people like the Aruch HaShulchan saying, look, he enjoys it, and malazer, you know, I can't tell you it's usher. Or even anal of taromet, don't even complain, I mean, it's fine. And then you have people like Shmir Chavit that say, you know, But if you look at public things, you'll see, you know, like, right, in 36, or Daniel Neustadt in his English summary will tell you, the poskim are almost unanimous in condemning ball playing on Shabbat as being frivolous and inappropriate behavior, right? He will sort of take it all and say, well, the poskim all say it's wrong, okay? However, if you look in 37, right, Berman, right, Saul Berman years ago said, look, he notes here, and I just gave you his translation. He said, if you follow Shmir Chavez Gilchaza, in 1964, he said, ball playing except for the game of soccer involves no prohibition, even outside of the house. Right? Meaning the version we saw where he said you should avoid it is a later iteration. Meaning it became a consensus. But as late as 1964, right, Shmir Chavez Gilchaza published saying it's no problem at all. Right? In the second one, he says ball playing should not be declared to be prohibited except for the game of soccer. Right? In the English translation, in the second edition, it says, right, it expands it by putting on constraints. Right? And then, right, which is subject to the restrictions, da da da, right? Ball games should not be played. Right? And it goes into even more. Right? So we note that, look, there might be a consensus, but it grew in. And it's pretty recent, right? Because even Shmir Shabbos writing in 1964 said it was fine. And again, this ages from Reuven Feinstein was that not everyone thought it was a problem, not even so long ago. Okay, so let's assume that's true. Public policy, what should we do, right? Is this something we should encourage, right? So, as you've seen, many people say no, right? The later iterations of Shlomo Zalman, right? This article by Ryan Newstead is probably a fair assessment of what many people feel, which is whether because we want to encourage learning or because we do think it's not against the spirit of Shabbat, right, we should avoid it. We'll stop short of saying it's usur because there's a lot of reason why it might not be formally usur, but we should not love it. However, some people will say, like what Ray Berman says, which is if you go down, right, here, he says, we seem to have evolved only three activities through which we positively and effectively enhance the holiness of the day. Davening time, meal time, and learning time. Whatever time cannot be consumed in one of these activities remains available for sleep. Right? He's like, seems to be what we've reduced Shabbos to. Right? Eat, sleep, daven. Is this really it? In God's whole wide world, the only permissible activities which can serve spiritual purposes on Shabbat are davening, learning, and eating, leaving them only sleeping as the residual means of consuming time not otherwise able to be put to positive use. My life experience as a person or a parent, as a rabbi, teacher, lead me to the conclusion that these three areas are simply not sufficient for most people and are certainly not sufficient for children and young adults. Adults are somewhat able to cope with the bad situation. As time grows heavy on their hands, meals protract into feasts, davening time protracts to fill some of the available time, and people will take a safer with them to bed or just sleep more. It seems to me that if we need to be looking to expand the base of activities through which spiritual experiences can be had, If we want the time of Shabbat to so infuse the life of the Jew with meaning that the rest of the days of the week could be lived in its shadow, then we need to discover additional frameworks through which such meaningful transmissions can take place. Then he talks a little bit about kids. And he says, look, just telling people not to play ball on the Shabbat is not a solution. Right? All it does is will shift people's engagement to some other equally non-spiritual productive activity. Right? So Rabbi Berman is basically spelling out, if you want to put it formally, the logical conclusion of the Rokeach. Right? If you think the reason that playing ball on Shabbat is a violation of the spirit of Shabbat is not because it's intrinsic, but because it's taking away from other activities, that's only legitimate if you think they're going to use that time wisely. Right? But simply saying the negative of what you can't do doesn't ensure that they're going to fill the time with what you think they should. Right? Again, if you think it's fundamentally problematic, that's one thing. But if you think it's a problem because they're not filling it with the right time, then their time with the right things, that only works if you think it's realistic for them to fill it with the things that are meaningful. If that's not realistic, right, then don't say it. Right? Because again, if you possibly like the Rokeach, the only problem playing ball was that they weren't learning. But if you can't get them to the Beit Midrash, and the alternative is a 4-hour nap instead of a 2-hour nap or whatever, right? That's not obviously better. Right? That's not obviously better. Now, I'm not going to tell you which is right, but I want you to understand the discourse, right? This is basically, at the end of the day, this is the discourse, right? Is people will throw out certain halachic issues, right? But then it really comes down to, everyone agrees, I think this is not ideal. But the question is, why is it not ideal? Is it because your idealized Shabbos is that people are running all day? Or is it because you think sports particularly are violation of the spirit of the day? If you take the latter, so obviously, no matter what people are doing, you don't want them playing sports, right? I'd rather them nap. But if it's because you have an idealistic version of what people should be doing, then you have to ask, on a policy level, you have to ask the question, well, realistically, are they going to be doing that, right? If the answer is no, then either come up with more creative ways as a rabbi to figure out to encourage your shul to come and learn more or whatever, right? Or something else, right? But don't just say don't play sports, right? If you, right? Because if you think like the Rokeach, it's a problem to play sports because you're supposed to be filling your time with something else. But if they're not going to, you haven't solved the problem by just taking away something you could do, right? And this is really, I think, where the conversation is in terms of the classic pickup game. Okay, again, exercise we'll get to in just a minute, because that may be the other halachic issue that really is serious here. Let me just talk for a minute about the broader policy issue, okay, and then I'll take your question. So this is where I think you leave it with the pickup game on Shabbat. Right, Berman himself has a very interesting suggestion, which I'm not sure I buy, that there might be a difference between competitive sports and non-competitive sports, because competitive sports are negative in the spirit of Shabbat, but if you can come up with collaborative ideas, right, so then maybe, I don't know. Okay, I have no idea. He likes this idea, right, because he wants to basically use sports to convey, right, Jewish values, so he wants to think in terms of that. Okay, fine, I mean, come up with whatever suggestion you want. What? Right, so maybe if you think, but I honestly, this is a very interesting idea to me, that like competitive sports are particularly bad. I'm not really sure why, I mean. Okay, I mean, maybe. Yeah, you know, I understand. It's not restful. It's like, it's aggressive. Maybe Shabbos is about community, and therefore we should go for collaboration. But a friendly competition, you know, is it really bad? You know, this is like, I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation to have. What? Yeah, no, I understand. But, you know, if people got out their energy with a friendly boxing game, you know, whatever. Okay. That's in terms of the private game. But, as I said, recently what's been in the public eye has been not that, right? It has been not just that. It has been the Orthodox kid who's going to walk the 5 miles, right? And he's, right, he's not going to drive on Shabbat. He's going to eat kosher, but he's going to play ball on Shabbat. So is this a problem? Okay, so, you know, just scanning, like, Facebook at that time, or any of the popular, you had a division. You had some people said, look, it's a Kiddush Hashem, and other people said, this is the greatest Chilul Hashem, right? The people who said it's a Kiddush Hashem said, look, he's joining American society at the highest echelon, and look, he still keep, right? He doesn't think that's anathema to Shabbos and Kashrus. And people on the other side said, really, this, right, this is our idol, this, right, and at the end of the day, sure, he's not being machal Shabbos. So fine, so in his personal life, let him do whatever he wants, but to celebrate it as a community, to send mazel tovs out on his shul email, right, you're sending the wrong messages. Okay. So what should we say? So here I think it's tricky, because I think in much of our community, whether we like it or not, people are playing a pickup game on Shabbos, right? They are, right? Maybe the rabbi was opposed to it, maybe he wasn't, right? But the community at large does not see playing sports as a violation of Shabbat in any way, shape, or form, right? Does that change when he now becomes a professional player? And here I think it's tricky. Because on the one hand, you'd say, well, maybe not, right? He'll be paid by havlah, right? He'll, right, as much as whatever, right? He'll be paid by havlah, whatever. I mean, okay, he's running, and is his feet digging in? Okay, you got to figure out the mitzvahs. Is it fake grass, right? Is it turf? Is it real grass? These days, it's mostly turf, okay? To the one end, you might say, look, if we accept that it's not really a violation of the spirit of Shabbat, really the problem is you should be doing something else. This person is probably not spending all of Shabbat afternoon learning, so is this any worse? Right? And on the other hand, right, that's sort of one intuition. On the other hand, there's the Sandy Koufax phenomenon on steroids phenomenon, which is, wait a second, Sandy Koufax, who was secular and played every Shabbos and Machal Shabbos and ate treif and whatever, realized at least on Yom Kippur that this was the wrong thing to be doing, right? Meaning there is something, we feel that this is wrong, right? Everyone feels it's wrong, right? So why is it suddenly, right, like, right, as I saw someone put very nicely, which is, how many of us would celebrate Sandy Koufax if, you know, the story wasn't he refused to play on, right, play on Yom Kippur, but was rather he said, I'm going to walk to the game on Yom Kippur, right? Right? We'd be like, I mean, oh, that's very nice, but like, right, the celebration is because we understand that there's something different. Now, is that because we all really think that sports are problematic on Shabbos? Or, and here I come back to the Ramban, the Rambam. The Rambam, if you remember, said Shabbaton is particularly problematic when it's professional, right? That really what Shabbaton is telling you is not just tircha, but is you shouldn't be working on Shabbos, right? I think there's a good argument to be made, right, that a professional sports player is a different cheshbon, right? That because now you're mixing in not just something which itself is questionable, right? But what's the whole heter, right? The whole heter is it's not really against the spirit, and as we'll come back to it, the running heter, which is, well, it's your enjoyment. Fine, but that's not, when somebody's a professional, he plays whether he wants to at that time, whether he doesn't, right? So it's not his own egg. He's doing it clearly. Yes, he enjoys baseball in general, but that's not why he's doing it now. He's doing it as his job, right? That does seem to be more problematic. Now, does that mean we should kick and yell and scream? I don't think so. I don't know if that's effective because, right, no, I don't think that's effective. But should we think twice before we celebrate it? Probably, right? Again, what are we yelling about, right? Meaning, he grew up in a community where everyone played ball on Shabbos. I don't think anyone ever articulated the difference, right? My intuition is there's something worse. And I gave you, if you want to look, Reb David Stav had this very nice piece on August 8th. I just copied it for you from Facebook, right? Where he said, look, we had two gold medal winners in the Olympics from Israel, but his heroes in this whole thing, right, were, he quotes this woman, Talia, right, she was achat ha-kochavot ha-gdolot shel nivcheret Yisrael ba-achlaka u-madentiot al galgaliot, so some sort of aerobic on whatever, rings, whatever. Shaita amura lishtatev ba-alifut Europa gizag Yisrael, aval kishetbarer la shetacharut titkayim b-shabbat, hi bachra levater al ha-chalom shebo ishkia shanim shel ma'amatz Al Enoshi, right? She chose to give up her years of involvement because of Shabbat. Lau lekol chavara sportaim vasportaiot shemavatrim shuv vashuv al hizdamniot leman shmirat hamasor yudit magia medalya shel zahav. Hashabbat manika lahem ota bechavod ubaava.
Right, the people are willing to give it up for the misara. Right, those are the people who deserve a medal, who deserve recognition. And I think, right, this is, I think, the key, right, is that if we want to criticize, right, we need to have our head where Reb Stav is also, right? Meaning it's not enough for us to get up and jump and yell when someone is drafted and suddenly people are happy and say you shouldn't be happy, right? If we celebrate the people who see this as wrong and, right, then the community, right, and we have a dialogue about, you know, things that may not be formally us or, but, right, this is not what we do as a community, right? And we celebrate that. That's a healthier dialogue on the positive side, right? Which is to say, I'm not denigrating it, but I'm telling you, I know these people who gave up their dream, right? Those are my heroes, right? If you want to have a public policy decision, right, a debate, right, that's a much healthier way, is to start talking positively, right, about what Shabbat is about, not just the formal Isurim, right? Because you could find Heterim around that. Okay, I did find this nice formulation in Rav Vitman in Tchumen Yudchet, in the totally different context, but in terms of milking, setting up electronic milking machines on Shabbat. He has this nice policy, right? Not halachic, but policy statement, which I think is also helpful to think about in this context. He says, "Nireh sheyesh lechalek chalukah brura bein mikrim b'hem ha'magama hina lenatzel et ha'technologia v'heter el chati." He says, when we're thinking meta-halachically and policy and whether you should look for kulot, said he thinks, his intuition is, you should distinguish between two things. If you're using a heter, because without it, your business is going to collapse during the week, right? Meaning, if the cows are in pain for 24 hours every week, right, it will affect the milking during the week. So then, forget you what heter you have to use. But using heter, you're not doing it because you want to transform Shabbat into the weekday. It's that you just can't survive during the week if you don't find some sort of solution, which is like, right, not ideal, but whatever, on Shabbat to deal with the problem. That's different than you're using the heter to essentially turn Shabbat into just another workday, right? I think that's a very nice formulation, right? Because at least my intuition, right? Again, this is my intuition, right? But someone's pickup game on Shabbat, right? Yesh ladon of whether that's a problem. Right? But when you read these articles about someone who, I'm going to be, right, everything's going to be the same except that on Shabbat I'm going to walk there, right? That's basically the only difference, right? The feeling you get is, the reason there I think it's a bigger violation of the spirit of Shabbat is not just what I said from the Rambam, it's your job, but also because the point is to make that he can play in every game, right? That there is no difference between Shabbat fundamentally, right? And that already, I think, is, even though it's a little bit amorphous, I think on a policy level, it's definitely true that when we're thinking about Heterim, right, when it gets, and again, I don't think that a private game, whether you like it or not, does the same thing. Because a lot of people, they don't play during the week, right? This is Dafka, what they do only on Shabbat, like it or not, right? Right? That's the only time they have to play, right? Meaning, I don't think it violates in the same way, right? It might be problematic, but it's not problematic in the same way as someone who's saying, look, I'm going to play every single day, and if it's Shabbat, I'm going to walk so that my week looks basically the same no matter what day, right? And I think that's an important cheshbon to keep in mind, and why I think intuitively we feel that even if you can, you may not share my intuition, but this is my intuition, that even if you're going to side with the postgame who are okay with the private pickup game, right, there's just something off about celebrating, at least. Again, I'm not going to yell at anybody, I understand, right? But to celebrate it, right? I mean, in this sense, I'm with Rav Stav, right? We should be celebrating the people who don't think that's the picture of a Torah-observant Jew.
that we should
celebrate, right? We should celebrate the people who are willing to be mistayeg, or willing to hold themselves back from that. That's my intuition. Yeah. Oh, for sure. I know, 100%. No, 100%. I think that, look, in the sense, look, to me, again, the way the public discourse should go, I don't think anyone should be yelling at him, right? I think we should be, I know people hate nuance, but it's also possible that we can talk in nuance. We can say, listen, it's not ideal, right? And the people who choose not to do it, we'll celebrate them the way Reb Stav does with these people who gave up on going to the Olympics or whatever. Mitzad Sheni. It's better than him saying, I'm giving up in the Orthodox community, right? Because we know there's a range in the community, right? Meaning, sure. I think a lot of the people who were happy for him would have felt differently if, you know, Pitom, Rav Asher Weiss decided, you know what, I never told anyone, but my dream was to be, to be in the NBA, right? Pitom, I'm going to find the Azeteirim, right? Because, right, we understand that that's like a real, right? If someone was, look, he's an average, you know, modern Orthodox Jew of a certain type, and playing ball is just what they do, and like, what's the alternative, right? He might have, right, he was going to be a lawyer, and, you know, okay, wouldn't work on Shabbos, but if he was, you know, whatever, you know, meaning, right, there are people in standard modern Orthodox communities who are doctors and drive to the hospital even when there isn't, or drive back from the hospital even when there's not a compelling reason, right? I mean, there are people, there are things that happen, right, they're in the community, and like, we understand, so someone does that, it could be, look, but at least he didn't give it all up, and I'm totally with it, I'm not, right, again, this is not about those two people at all, right, this is about the public discussion, right, them personally, you know, fine, I'm very happy, right? And maybe they didn't technically violate. But if we're going to use it as a, right, if we're going to talk about how we should think about policy and the types of conversation we should have, right, do I love it? No, I don't love it, right? I think at this point, maybe it's a fait accompli. And okay, we can appreciate what they did, right? That's why I'm saying, my personal feeling is if we want to get it to the point that the average modern Orthodox Jew would look at that and say, have a twinge of regret, right? Even if they appreciate it, we need to be a lot more on the Reb Stav side, which is look for the opportunities to teach people what Shabbat is about, right? If it's only when we start kicking and screaming, that's not what it's about, right? And again, I do in this sense agree with Rabbi Berman, that it's not enough to just say Shabbat is about learning, because unless that's realistic, it's not helpful, right? And again, you'll find post-Kim, the exact same things they'll say about sports, we'll say about board games, right? On the other hand, I think many people would say, Mapidom, if on every Shabbat afternoon you get together as a family for the only time a week without a phone, right, where that is arguably the biggest breakdown of human relationships, right, and you play a game with your kids, right, I think many rabbis who 30 years ago would have said, make them learn, don't let them play Monopoly, would say, wait a second, you got all your kids to play a Monopoly game together for 3 hours and you talked over the Monopoly, like, you know, Yatzatam Yedechovalim 100 minimum 100, right? I mean, a lot of these can change, and the question is both what is the expectation? The second is also what's the reality during the week, right? And to be fair, my guess is that some post game probably are more okay with the sports game this day, because 30 years ago, right, sports might have been what people were doing to the exclusion of learning and whatever. Nowadays, they're on their phone. Right? If we can get, if people are, adults and kids alike, are off their phone and they're even having a competitive game, but they're talking to other human beings, right? That's still, right? Meaning, so a lot of it, when we're talking about policy, you got to figure out what's the reality during the week, right? Right? What's the reality during the week? And what is it that you're placing on Shabbos? Again, do I love it? No. Do I play sports on Shabbos? No. But for me, it's realistic to go have a chavrusa and be iyun and, you know, Yerushalmi Shviat in the afternoon. But I know that the number of people who are doing that on Shabbos afternoon, right, that's not so many, right? Fine, I understand that. Do I love that there's a sports game that goes on, a kavua volleyball game, that goes on the, in the park, to the point that they built a
you know, a court for it, and it happens every Shabbos afternoon, that goes down in the park on my block? No. The fact that the people in it at some point produced t-shirts that said L'chvod Shabbat Kodesh, does that at least make me feel a little bit better? A little bit, right? I don't know, a lot of it, but a little bit better, right? Meaning, I think we do have to have a little bit of a, right? When you're talking policy and you understand the range, you need to understand what are the alternatives. And that's, I think, right, Berman's article writing 30 years ago is very helpful, is to focus on the fact that on a policy level, once you've noticed there is a path to being moderate, so then you've got to talk about, okay, but if you don't want it, but then let's actually talk about what it is you don't like, right? And talk about the realistic alternatives and not be Pollyannish about this and say, right, oh, as soon as we convince them to stop saying volleyball, right, the Beit Midrash is going to be packed, right? Right? If that's realistic, then obviously you should be angry, right? If it's not realistic, so then you got to figure out, maybe you're upset, but maybe the best way is to find something else that's better, right, that's going to, right, be Moshech. Yeah. Correct. Me'achuz. Right. So, right, Berman is writing on the left. Right. So, right, Berman is writing on the left side of the Orthodox community. Right. In Achanami. No, of course. And again, that's why I think the framing of the Rokeach is helpful. Right. Because what the Rokeach is telling you, it's a violation of the spirit of Shabbat because you should be doing something else. Once the framing is that, you've got to ask the realistic question. You're right. In some communities, it is realistic. And then, me'achuz. Right? Of course. Oh, no, 100%. Oh, 100%. I agree with you, and that's what I'm saying. The dialogue has to be... Right. Now, you're right. As a rabbi, therefore, maybe the solution is come up with that which is going to bring them in. Now, what is that? I don't know. Right? Is it a shir? Probably not. Is it a very exciting parent and child thing that will really get their kids involved? More likely, because people will follow their kids. Right? Right. Look, I shouldn't you know, misrepresent my community. It's a wonderful community, right? As much as there's that, there's also, you know, at the same time, my son, you know, has his, my 8-year-old son has his learning group that they go and they do every week or whatever, has his own chavrusas that he, you know, and fine, like, you know, yesh v'yesh. But in the end of the day, you're right. You're 100% right. I'm not denying that. Again, I won't deny that the ideal is for that. Again, I agree with you. No, 100%. I agree with you that, right? I 100% agree with you, right? I'm just saying, I agree with Ray Berman that the dialogue can't just be that's bad. If you really think it's wrong because you should be doing something else, right? You're in the Rokech mentality, then you need to make that realistic. And it might take years, right? It might be that you start off by saying once a month we do a program, right? And then people realize, whatever, right? Come up with another creative, right? It could be that once a month you do something so exciting, right? For all the kids and all their parents and whatever, that suddenly people realize, you know what? There's a realistic alternative, right? And then you extend it to two, right? Whatever, right? You're right, 100%, right? But once you're at the policy level, you need to ask those questions. You can't just get away with saying, but it could be, right, that community. It could be. But if it's not there yet, you can't just jump, right? And that's what I think is just important to realize, that the Rokeach-like framing is begging you to ask that question, right? Okay, let's try to quickly go through exercise, okay? So what, yeah? I think it's hard. I think you got to know your community. I don't think there's a right answer, right? Meaning, I think it depends on your community, right? Meaning, I think in some communities where, look, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, if you were a rabbi in a shul where you know that a lot of the kids are going off the derech, right after, as soon as they go to secular college, whatever, you know, pick your model, right? And, you know, it's not realistic, right? What's realistic is to convince, is to show them that their life can be integrated into learning, right? None to learning. Into Shmiras HaMitzvos. So maybe it is positive to talk about this story in a positive light, right? Because, you know, that's what they need to hear, is the fact that you can, right? Because it's right, it's still impressive, right? No one's denying it's impressive that he's finding, that these guys are finding a way to not be Machal Shabbos, right? If you're in a community, right, as noted, where everyone else is learning, and this was the one, you know, I'm not saying this is what they were, I have no idea, right? But if your community, everybody learned from morning to night, right? Everyone davened Vasikin on Shabbos and then learned the entire day, every Shabbos, and he was the one bum in the back who went and played basketball by himself, and Pitom, he's in the NBA, right? You probably wouldn't celebrate it, right? But most communities are somewhere in the middle, so you need to, right? Nuance is important. And again, it might be that the best way to respond is to not respond to that, but to find a way to be a Reb Stav, right? Is to, right? Because then you're not saying anything. You're not saying that person's bad. You're saying, this is something I aspire to. Whether that's good or bad, you know, there's parts of it I respect. Maybe it's not ideal. Whatever. I'm not judging him, right? But this is my ideal, right? You need to be creative when it comes to these things. Okay. Exercise is the other possibility here, right? Which we should talk about, but the truth is it follows a lot. Now, what is the more formal category? The more formal category is Mit Amlin B'Shabbat. What does Mit Amlin B'Shabbat mean? So, it might mean massages, right? And it might mean exercise, right? And whatever it means, there's a machloket between Rashi and the Rambam, whether the issue is, as Rashi has it, right? Whether the issue is Mishum Uvdin Dechol, right? Or it's Mishum Refua. Right? Okay, so when the Gemara says Mit Amlin is Asur, right? Again, it could be a massage, it could be exercise, usually to the point where you are Mazia, where you sweat, right? So what's the problem? So the Rambam assumes that the issue is Refua, right? If that's the case, that's not what we're talking about, right? When it's Mishum Refua, what we're talking about is you're doing it, right? L'shem Refua, right? That's not usually the normal pickup game. Even if you happen to sweat, right? That's not what he's talking about. Doesn't seem to be quite what he's talking about. Because, in general, Refua is only on, right? Meaning Refua is not usually usher if it's Derech Briyim, right? And therefore, much exercise, right? I mean, physical therapy for someone who's really, right, going to a physical therapist because they hurt, that might be more refuah. But, you know, a brisk walk or a run even, right? That's not usually. So, yesh ladun, whether within refuah, that would be a problem. Now, even the massages, right, which I don't want to get into too much, but it's really not clear that it means what we're talking about. They're talking about much more, right, medical, right? It's probably not a shoulder massage or something like that, right? Like, whatever, you're talking, you know, maybe a full body massage from someone, right, for, you know, as part of therapy, right? That's what we're talking about. And then they're going to the sauna to schwitz it off for medical reasons. We're not talking about, right? Okay. Rashi thinks the issue is Uvdin Dechol. Okay? Rashi thinks that the issue of Mit Amlin, whatever it is Uvdin Dechol. Now, as we've already talked about, Uvdin Dechol is very hard to put your finger on. And therefore, you've got to figure out, okay, let's assume that Rashi, we're talking about Uvdin Dechol, what exactly does that refer to practically in terms of our exercise, right? Like, what is that? How do you now move those together? So this isn't so clear. Often, as we've seen, right, it might be about Torah, but Torah might be like, you know, like pointless schlepping, like the Ramban, right? Something you enjoy, as we'll see from the Ramah, right? Running for enjoyment doesn't seem to go into the Tircha issue. What about if you're using weights? You're using, right, workout things. Does that make it worse? So they note here that that as much as sort of in popular discourse, we assume that it does, it's not clear. The Tzitz Eliezer, when dealing with an expander, thought that that's not true. If it's too, well, it depends, right? He says, Barur gam sheyesh bazim shum uvdin dechol, hein be'etzem asir atargilim. Divichon targilim yodinu menasim bichlim yuchal akach yode. Sorry. He says if it's a kli miyuchad, right? So then he does think it's a problem, right? The Tzitz Eliezer thinks then it is a problem. However, right, it still depends, right, what exactly you're talking about. Like, they know the Mishnah Halachot also thinks this, that even like a hand grip is a problem because you're using a special kli. However, they note that, as Rav Moshe points out in one place, that's not necessarily a sweeping isser, right? That might be true of some things. They note, and I'm not going to get into it, they said, right, similar issues arise by bikes, where there were some poskim, very few, who were matir it. Most poskim forbade it. But what they note is that, look, even if you think that, you know, it's usher, it's hard to say that everything is usher. And they note that certain poskim say it's mutter, like the Or LeZion says that exercise, even with whatever, workout materials, is mutter, right? That's not called uvdin dechal. That doesn't make it more uvdin dechal. Complicated here is the fact that already you have the smock's position, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, which is that people who enjoy, you know, he's talking about kids, but people who enjoy running, so then it's mutter. Now, then you've got to, right, this is quoted by the Rambam, that Bachurim HaMitangim B'Kfitz Adam Rus Adam Mutar V'chein L'Rot Kol Davar Shemagim Bo, right? So in the exercise thing, again, what you end up with is the Rambam thinks, like the smock, that it's an Uvdin Dechol issue, and it's only Uvdin Dechol if it's not L'Shem Ta'anug. Now, in that sense, do I think that someone who's working and doesn't always like going to work to play baseball is a problem? Yeah. I do think that the professional, this might be a problem because they don't always enjoy it. But the average pickup game, right, people don't feel mechuyav to it, right? They go because they enjoy. So there's good reason to believe that even on the exercise front, it's not Uvdin Dechol on that side because the Rambam says that if you enjoy it, it's mutter. Now, there is a discussion within the postgame of what exactly is hana'ah, right? Is it only if you enjoy it in the moment? What if you enjoy the feeling that you have afterwards? Well, there are certain postgame. So that like the Bach says it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter whether you enjoy it in the moment or you enjoy it afterwards. Right? If you're doing because you enjoy it, right? You feel better afterwards because of the endorphins. Yalla, that's mutter. The Taz doesn't think that's true, right? The Taz thinks that on Shabbat, you should be doing things you enjoy in the moment, but not things that you only enjoy afterwards, right? What does that mean? So he says, what that would mean basically is, look, if you like taking a quick jog and make you feel better in the moment, that would be mutter. If you hate going to the gym, but you want to have a six pack, right? But you hate it, but it's worth the sweat, right? That probably shouldn't be done on Shabbat, right? According to the Taz. Right? Because you don't enjoy it in the moment, right? You want the results, but that's the type of thing you should avoid on Shabbat. And then, in, you know, again, I don't need to go through it for you. They go and they summarize different modern poskim. What they basically do in this article is point out that, look, there is, right, if you just look at their sikkum, again, you can look at all the Makara, they say, look, there's an Isser of Hitamlut. According to the Rambam, it's talking about refuah, right? According to Rashi, it's about uvdin dechol. First of all, most poskim don't paskin like Rashi, right? Second of all, there are poskim who think that you can't use exercise equipment. Other poskim say that doesn't make it worse. Some poskim say it's aser bit torach. However, we tend to say it's mutter if it's l'shem. Tanug. What does tanug mean? If you want to take a more machmir approach, it has to be tanug in the moment. If you want to say that it's right, you want to sort of make more makel approaches, even tanug after the fact. The one thing they do note, right, is you probably should wear Shabbos clothes, right? Right, that's, as I said, from Reuven Feinstein, right? Because otherwise, then it really does become chol. So what does that mean? Again, la halacha. On the one hand, you could say, look, you can find a het there for each and every thing. On the other hand, the question is, do you want to? And that's true at two levels, right? Halachically and policy-wise, right? Halachically, you know, there is a lot of room to say there's a difference between a leisurely walk, right? Or even a brisk walk and running, right? There's definitely, because of the Machloket Tazenbach, there's room to say that even if we're going to allow exercise, right, it should be something that you enjoy in the moment and not afterwards, right? I do think, personally, on a policy level, right, this is my personal feeling, that there is, even if you want to say that exercise is fundamentally mutter, I think there is a, you know, there is something to encouraging people, right? Look, in the end of the day, this all comes from the same sugya, which says your walking should be different on Shabbat during the week. I think there's something to be said that, look, I mean, to put it very simply, right, almost every exercise split that you can think of, right, no matter how much of a bodybuilder you are, right, does not have 7 days where you're working out. It just doesn't, right? So im kvar, it doesn't, right? And there's built-in rest days or whatever, you know, split you're on, or there's a day where you should be doing cardio, right, and not, right, and not weight training, mashe'ya, right? The fact that most people, when they're exercising, that's built into their schedule, my personal opinion, halachically, spirit of the law, is that to not make that day fall out on Shabbat seems to be very odd, right? That even if you can be making it, it seems to be very odd. I don't know why you would look for a kula, right? I think that if someone is doing a split, they go to the gym 4 days a week, right? And the other days, so take a brisk walk on Shabbos, right? I mean, fine. I do think that, you know, I read their article, right, the first time, and my feeling was like, on the one hand, I sort of agree. On the other hand, why are you doing this, right? Right, there are very few people who work out 7 days a week. It's not healthy for you, right? Almost every split has certain rest days. I do think that you can err too much on the other side, which is to say, right, it's not obviously a violation and people enjoy it, without taking the broader picture as saying, okay, fine, but, right, I think a healthier approach would have said it's not technically usser, but, right, or there's room to be makil. But why don't you take a brisk walk in your Shabbos clothes with your, you know, with your wife and your kids, right? Make that be your cardio day, right? You want to be makil and running? Fine, right? But don't go to the gym, right? Meaning, I think there is room to right? Meaning, I think there's room to be smart about this and not just say, especially when you're dealing with policy and should be looking for Ethereum, right? At least on this one, I didn't love their conclusion just because there's nothing there that I don't agree with. It's not that I can't come up with a het there. It's that why did you come up with that het there without simply saying the reasonable thing was, if you are going to have a split, make the rest day be on Shabbat, right? That's a way, as we all know, part of Kavod Shabbat is finding ways to make Shabbos different, not finding ways to justify what you do during the week. That's my personal feeling. Yeah. What? Oh, I didn't give you this? You sent it, right? Yeah, I sent it to you. What I did was just run through the article, right? And the Makaro there. That's my personal, it's the Stav exercise Shabbat, right? Again, why did I give you this instead of just giving you all the Makaros? Because, like I said, part of the issue here isn't just understanding the halacha, it's understanding the public discourse, right? Why did they write this article? Because people were asking them. Right? Because people want to exercise. That's why they're doing it. Is there room to be makel? Yes. If someone comes to you and saying there's room to be makel, the answer is yes, there's room to be makel. But if the question is, should we be makel, right? You know, I think if someone came to me, I would say, listen, first thing I would say is it realistically in your normal split of exercise to make it that Shabbat is your rest day or the day that you do, right, cardio, right? If the answer to that is yes, right, I would say, listen, don't rely on the kulot. Make Shabbat your day of rest, right? Or make it the day that you take a brisk walk and that'll be your exercise, right? If he came to me and he said, no, it's impossible, whatever, you know, whatever I do, my trainer said I should, you know, instead of doing an upper-lower split, I do every muscle separately and therefore I do it 7 days a week. Right, and you know, I do minor ones. Okay, so maybe you know, then yesh lazer, right? Maybe that's the day you should do a smaller muscle group, so it doesn't, right? I don't know, right? But I do think that to just say people are asking me, and therefore we should carve out a kula, rather than saying, let me think more broadly of how I can, right? And dafka for me, right? I think to take the Ribstav model that I said, the other Ribstav model, right? To find a way of having a public discourse, right? I would have said, look, the people who make their split so that Shabbos is their rest day, right? They have done something important. Let me take just one more minute, and then I'll be done because I know I'm over time. I sent you one more file with swimming. Swimming, in addition to all of this, right? There are a bunch of problems. The Yalkut Yosef quotes 8 problems. All the Makorot are there. And I sent you, right, Leibowitz's, right, sometimes he attaches to his 10-minute halacha, his outline. So you can just read his outline. And then I included at the end, which he didn't have, the full Yalkut Yosef. But I also, at the end, if you want to think about it in policy, right, I also gave you 3 modern pieces from 3 or 4. I gave you, besides the Yalkut Yosef, I gave you Panina Halacha's discussion of policy, and then I gave you this Shuba that was put out by YCT, so you can see what's coming out from across the community, Ashkenazi, Sephardi, right, on the more liberal end, on the more conservative end, whatever. There are other issues there that have to do with the, right, with bathing and the minhag of not bathing at all, even in cold water, and minhag Ashkenaz, and, you know, there's a lot of other things going on there. That's true, right? But you'll notice that in the policy things, there is certain overlap in terms of these questions of what's realistic from our community, what's the alternative in our community, what's the reality we're dealing with, right? Those are the types of things you need to think about. You can look there. Obviously, other ones are riding bikes, right? You know, you can look at the Tshuva Tzitz Eliezer, you can look at the Tshuva Ben Ish Chai, right? I mean, each of these has their own sub-issue, but the issues do overlap and are very similar in many of them. The Rabbanim Stav in this article do have a brief discussion of the bicycle. I will note, I found while I was doing this a few months ago, I was looking at one thing of this, and I came across that the conservative movement came out with like a 50-page policy piece. It was fascinating to me to read it because on the one hand, right, it's following the position that you're allowed to drive on Shabbos. But on the other hand, they were very insistent you can't ride bikes on Shabbos. And like, they followed Rai Berman. They're like, we should, sports are mutter, but we should avoid competitive. It was very interesting to see how certain sensibilities about Shabbat cross into communities that do not share the most basic assumptions about what is mutter in terms of malacha. But certain ideas of the spirit of Shabbat apparently are so entrenched in the community that they spill over, which I, from a sociological perspective, I found very interesting. And it has given me a lot of thought, right? A lot of pause. To think about what it is that we really think about in the spirit of Shabbat, and why is it that it seems to be so muskam, even in communities where halacha is not as muskam, which was very interesting to me. Okay, hopefully that gives you a petach to these issues, both the halachic issues and the policy issues. I know I went very fast, but I'm already over time, so in malasot.